Stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned. I am here with the coach, John Brett.
I'm here with the vet, Mr. Ian Griffin, and it is cool outside.
It is. The nation of Texas has shut down because it rained and it got below 32.
I did not see one piece of sleet or ice or snow.
I did slip when I took my trash out, but that was it. And I'm sitting there just shaking my head. I said, this is freaking infantry sunshine. This is when we all go in the field and train.
Oh, well, this is Thursday of the week. And we were off Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at my school, and not one bit of snow anywhere that I saw.
So, we're going to talk about Glenville, Arizona,
yes,
and the Super Bowl, and all those other things. And there's a whole lot of things going on with the Super Bowl. It's got two Texas quarterbacks.
First time two brothers play against each other. There's a lot of dynamics involved in this.
Yes. So, it's going to be interesting. And to be honest, they were the two best teams in the NFL, their respective sides, and they were dominant all year. And there's flaws in every team, but they moved over their flaws and moved ahead. So it'll be interesting here.
I guess the stat I saw today that I did not even know was that, you put in perspective, the Chiefs had the hardest schedule of the NFL, and Eagles had the third least toughest. Yeah. So, but you also look at it this way. I didn't know, Jalen Hurts, of course, the Eagles lost three games, but they were 17-1 with Hurts. So two games of that, two of the three they lost was with a backup. So this is going to be, I think the last I saw this morning is the Eagles are 1.5 favorites, and probably that's probably a good line. Mm-hmm. I think so. The experience will be on the Chiefs, but I think the Eagles are a juggernaut. I think they're just one in a decade team of just everything came together one season.
I think this year with Jalen Hurts is, I think that they figured out that third down and two and then third down and one and third down and three. And not the last few games, but while he was, before he got hurt, and he just keeps the ball and runs for 15 yards, has been powerful. That's what they did when they played Dallas the first time. Although Dallas offense wasn't there, but when they played him the first time, every time it was third down, he kept the ball.
And that's just something, it's crazy that if you can get it, the people don't realize that the difference between that doesn't watch a lot of football or coach a lot of football, the difference between 3rd-and-2 and 3rd-and-7 is a million miles when it comes to in the NFL.
And they say he squats like 500 pounds.
No, the dude's a beast. I mean, it's going to be two great you can't say great quarterbacks. We have a great quarterback that's been doing it for another year. You got a guy that looks like he's going to be great. But this, I have to say, I think that I heard Tony Romo say that on an interview today on NFL Network that there were probably five teams that he looked at that could have been Super Bowl champs, but both him and I think it was Weiss that used to coach at the Patriots both said that they believe these were the two best teams, and not a lot of years you get the two best teams.
Yeah, I agree. I think they are. I think some teams in the AFC fizzled out. I think some teams in the NFC overcompensated for like their quarterback or their shortcomings, and they got as far as they did, but they wouldn't have put up the game that these two would have put up. So
I guess talking about the Super Bowl real quick, we're talking about, let's leave the quarterbacks to last. But if you look at it from the offensive line of the Eagles, I say they're top two or three, and I say the offensive lineman of the Chiefs, you say they're top two or three. So I think we got two great offensive lines here.
Well, there's two issues though with the Eagles. The one guy got hurt on toward the last quarter of the game.
Yeah,
I think he's a guard.
Right.
And then you got the one that's arrested.
Got the one that's actually got indicted for a crime in 2019. It was an interesting timing on that, but hey, it happens. It happens.
So that's two linemen. Mm-hmm. So there's a line. There's a line shuffle. And us being Dallas Cowboy fans, we know all about that.
Yes.
I thought we'd have a punter in there blocking at one time.
I don't know. I tell you what, I hate to go backwards, but I've never seen a craziness that I saw in the NFC Championship with down to a third string quarterback that actually did very well, won seven in a row. Mm-hmm. And then nobody really thinks about, well, what happens if he gets hurt? You're going to have a fourth. And now with the concussion protocol, just so quick, next thing you know, you're like, who's quarterbacking at all? Brock Purdy could not even throw the ball. Now we find out that he actually had torn ligaments.
Before we move on with that, think about this with concussion protocol. You're allowed to keep 53 men on the team, and then you're allowed to keep, I think it's seven. I could be wrong on that. I'm okay being wrong on the practice squad.
Sure.
Okay. And So the NFL should expand that, though. 53, as long as nobody's on concussion protocol. And if there's a concussion protocol issue, they should expand and compensate that number.
Sure.
I think they should. They should keep them on, but they should compensate that number, because then San Francisco might not be, you know.
Well,
compensate that number for maybe like this. If it's the running back, they have to backfill another running back for the concussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, like someone said the other day, it's like it was so detrimental to have those two quarterbacks on the sideline for them.
Yeah.
But teams get to choose. You know, back when we were growing up, there was always a third-string quarterback. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams don't have a third-string quarterback because there's only 53. So what they were saying was kind of like what you're saying on NFL Network is, in the playoffs, have a third-string that is an emergency quarterback that can be on the sidelines, that can only come in the game if the first two are ruled out.
So San Francisco is a unique thing, and we're going to move on here in a second, but they have such a great defense that they can carry any of their quarterbacks, sure, to be honest. But I have a philosophy is, unless you are Bill Parcells with Phil Simms and Hostetler,
yeah,
or you're the dude that's down there in Jacksonville now coaching that had Wentz and Nick Foles, no other backup makes it through that.
Yeah.
Normally when you get to your backup, your season is lost and you like, okay, I'm packing it in for next year. Not that you've given up, but supposedly your quarterback's supposed to be such an instrument, yeah, to the team that he makes that big a
difference.
Well,
and another thing, the season is so long. Look at our Dallas Cowboys this year. They actually had Dak broke a thumb.
Yeah.
He was out, what, 5 full games?
Yeah.
So if that's early enough the season or mid-season and you have a good enough team, which the Cowboys did, that doesn't knock you out of a playoff hunt. But what it did was a backup came in and played well. If that backup would have went 0-5, they probably still could have made the playoffs. But the problem is when you get into the playoffs and you have the situation happen with the 49ers, with Purdy and the gentleman after him, and they're gone, McCaffrey is going to be their third-string quarterback. Well, every single person you saw what Philadelphia did, they knew they couldn't pass. In the NFL, if you know a team cannot pass,
yeah,
they're done.
Yeah.
So it's not fair. Someone said the other day that the NFL rules change when in playoffs, games, its situations come up. We saw what happened with the Bills and the Chiefs 2 years ago, where whoever had the ball last was going to win that game.
Yeah.
So they changed it, the overtime rules. So what you're saying, I think, is going to happen after this year. Maybe the rules committee will get together and say, hey, we need to have this emergency situation for football that in the playoffs, they have to carry a third and we don't consider it a 53. It would just be an emergency type situation.
I like that. The other thing I'll say, though, is in the playoffs, hear me out, people. In the playoffs is not the time to go, let's go test the rules that we never practiced
right,
for 17 freaking games.
Right.
They did that to Dallas several years ago when they were in the playoffs, and they had this deal where the extra man in the huddle deal, and they never used it the whole season. And they actually went back and said it was 6 years since they'd thrown a flag on that play. But they decided that, hey, the playoffs is the time we want to pull that rabbit out of the hat.
You're right.
Hey, no. Go get all that crap done during the regular season and preseason. At the time of playoffs, it's supposed to be everybody knows everything. Everybody's on the same sheet of music.
Yeah.
The kicker deal, they came in, they go, now you can't use a blade of grass. Well, for 17 weeks, it was okay to use a blade of grass. But now all of a sudden, you got your little panties in a wad because you're in the playoffs. Now you want to go, I want to pull a rabbit out of the hat and be the new guy. Come on.
I guess they were talking about time constraints, but the situation with the Bills and the Chiefs where, you know, the Chiefs won the toss, they went down the field, scored, game's over.
Yep.
They said, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to give the other one a chance. That's only in the playoffs.
Yes.
So I don't understand, I guess, for time constraints, but throughout the season of 17, 18 weeks. But to me, you're right. Why just do something in the playoffs if you're not going to do it in the regular season?
Well, so a lot of things are for time constraints. Think about this. Take yourself back from the whole game for a second and say, every time a penalty is thrown, let's say for a false start, or a holding call,
mm-hmm,
shouldn't that time go back since that play was washed?
I've thought about that before, too.
But they don't do that because of time constraints.
Sure.
But that time should be washed back onto the clock from the start of that play.
And a lot of those are individual referees' decision, because some, if a lineman jumps off and it's a decision, we're going to stop the play. Quarterbacks get mad. Like, that's a free play. It used to always be a free play, but now it's up to the referee to make that decision. Is a quarterback in a in a situation where we feel like he could get hurt. So we stopped the play.
Well, one thing I've noticed this season is there are more false starts not called on the left tackle than I've ever seen. He gets a step ahead almost every play now, and they don't call it because it's like he jumps and they snap right then.
Yeah. Well, last thing I'll say on that is, before we get back to Super Bowl, is as you've seen further and further, the line used to be like this, the offensive line, now they're more like this.
Yeah.
These tackles are not on the line.
No.
Just so they have their foot close to the one and the other. But if that was a wide receiver, they would call them off the line.
Yeah.
So they need to be, why do they allow that? I don't know.
That, because they feel they're allowed, because they want the scores, and they're allowing the offense to have the protected box already set.
All right, so offensive line, I think, are very similar, very close. I still give the edge to the Eagles, probably on the offensive line. That's just me. Now, if you look at defensive line, I think you're definitely going to give it to the Eagles. I think the Chiefs got a couple of superstars that are on that line, but I think the Eagles line is just devastating.
The Chiefs line is situational. Now,
sure.
Now I will say, I can see his face, the defensive coordinator. Spagnuolo. He's a good gambler, man.
He
knows how to put those chips out there at the right time. And they are good at a very situational points in time. And they get through during that time. And they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go drink Gatorade now and call a timeout. Sure. And I'll kill them more up in the concession stand for a couple of plays. And then we'll come back out and play again.
Yeah.
But they're very good at that. And but I agree, consistency. I think the Eagles on the defense is –
yeah, Spags is one of those guys that he might not blitz you for a quarter half. He might blitz you five plays in a row. He, like you said, it's a situation, what he feels and what he's been feeling seems like it's been working. I remember at the beginning of this year, we're talking about the who could make it to the Super Bowl in the NFC and the AFC. You and I had a conversation about probably the best team. This is one of the best times that the Cowboys could possibly win a championship because it was kind of down. That didn't really happen.
No.
The Eagles and the 49ers were probably the two best teams. But in the AFC, there was many people picking the Chiefs to be third in their division because there's no Tyreek Hill. They were bringing new people in on the offensive line. We got all these new receivers, don't know whether they're going to work or not. And, they actually were picked behind the Broncos with the new quarterback and with the Chargers. But what we have seen throughout the year is with the Chiefs is, every game is you're throwing to 10 or 11 receivers. And that's something I don't think that the Eagles have seen yet, where there's somebody can throw around that much to different receivers. They're going to double Kelce. Well, they doubled Kelce the other night, the Bengals did. And at different times, it just left so many people open. And so do you rush? Do you bring pressure? If you bring pressure, they're just dumping the ball off quickly. If you don't bring pressure and you got eight people you can throw to at a time, I don't understand how you can handle that.
I will say the Chiefs have something unique. Is their centerpiece is Kelce, but they'll disguise it as it's not.
Yeah.
And so, and let's be honest, every one of their receivers would start on – it might not be the very first receiver, but they would be a top two receiver on the other team pretty much. There's only like two or three teams.
Well, Tony dropping in their lap was ridiculous. He was a number one receiver for the Giants. And because of the attitude situation, he was just, you can have him. Juju was the number one receiver with Steelers.
He was the free agent to get last year.
So you got those two thrown in there with the Kelce situation. And then you got these young guys just coming out of nowhere. And Marquez, in the last part of the season, Marquez, number 11, just jumped up as a
amazing. He got some speed.
Oh, my God.
And they draft speed. We talked about this on another forum is speed can't be coached. But what can be coached is route running, catching the damn ball, and blocking and gaining weight.
Yeah.
But speed, you're only going to get a little bit off the changing that much, So one thing that Kansas City, if you look back in the days, they went, I forgot what they called the kick returner, many years ago, they called him like a slot machine or something like that. But they always seem to have drafted speed.
And one of the things that you do have to be concerned with going into the Super Bowl is Hardman came back after 8 weeks out, hurt his pelvis again in one of those plays. So he was out, Juju was out, and Kadarius Toney were all out by the end of the game. Are all three going to be able to play? And if they play, what is there going to be? Now, people said, well, it didn't matter much in the end, but it would have mattered. It might have made the game a whole lot easier to win.
Yeah, because their game was –
those are three of them that are right there.
That game with Cincinnati could have went either way.
Well, Cincinnati had a chance to win that game. They should have won that game. Yeah. They should have went down the field, kicked the field goal, and won.
Yeah, that was a bonehead play.
There was some defensive stops by Chris Jones and Frank Clark, you know, on second, third down that made them have to punt the ball. And then when they punted the ball, the bonehead play was they punted in the middle of the field. So like you said, a guy with speed, he goes up to the 50-yard line.
You can't coach speed, but speed can change games.
Now, let's look at the Eagles.
Yep.
I believe, like I said, I sent you a text the other day. I said, the last 13 months, this GM should be GM of the year. I mean, not only they got A.J. Brown, that was ridiculous. I don't know what the Titans were.
So, but I understand the Titans. The Titans felt that they probably wasn't going to march but in the Super Bowl, one, and they were going to either have to watch – unlike what the Dallas does, they're going to watch him walk, or they could trade him, and they got a number one pick out of it. His replacement, which receivers take 2 years or so to really make an impact. So I think it was a deal for both of them. It just catapulted the Eagles into a better position.
Yeah. Again. So I think that the matchup with the offense, the Chiefs' offense against their defense is very, very interesting. But I do think the Chiefs have that type of team that can – exploit of time just because they got so many weapons. It's going to see, can they get the pressure? How's the ankle? Can they get the pressure?
Yeah.
But getting pressure on him, it seems that he always finds a spot to get through and around. But I also think the key, I think it's something that I was looking at watching the game the other night on replay, is with the Eagles, if you get pressure on Hurts, and he's not in an RPO, but if he's just dropping back, he seems to have problems getting the ball to the check down guy.
Yeah.
So with Spags, if he can do that in situations, it's 35, 36, and things like that, and they're sending the back out, and you have a spy on that back, I think that's a problem they could have on third downs. But I don't know about – both teams are going to run against each other.
I'm like this on the game. I want to see the Chiefs win because I can't stand the damn Eagles.
I can't stand the Eagles either.
But I'm going to say this. Philadelphia, if you want to win the game – don't do what the Carolina Panthers did and try to be all super conservative on everything. Have your quarterback run the damn ball.
Just go, yeah.
Just let him go like he did in week 7 or 8 and let him go and you'll win the game.
Right. Well, you will see this, that the running game should be huge because two of the teams that did the most damage to the Chiefs were the Chargers, running the ball with that big back, and also the first time they played with Mixon, with Mixon, from the Bengals. Now look exactly what they had a problem. The Eagles did the last few. They had a problem with Barkley. They had a problem with Pollard. They have a problem with people that can just get going. Well, they got Pacheco that can run up there strong like that, like Barkley.
Pacheco is going to be the game changer.
I think
for
so.
For the Chiefs side.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that. I think, though, with the Eagles, it is going to be number one. It is going to be Jalen Hurts.
This is crazy.
So if you take him in and do the RPO and don't let him run it all in the first two quarters, you lost your damn mind.
Yeah.
You got 60
minutes.
He needs
minutes. To be RPO in.
Just
like he's in college,
run.
Baby.
Yeah, he needs to do some of those games where he runs a 20-yard run and it changes the whole defense on the Chiefs side.
Now, a coaching issue that I love about this year, these coaches together, they used to coach together, or Sirianni, what's his name? Sirianni?
I can't say his name.
Yeah, he coached with Reed, under Reed. But also, every year you talk about how great Andy Reed is after a bye week. Like the game they play after a bye week, it's like some ridiculous 11-2 or something like that. Well, this is really kind of like a bye week.
Yeah.
So you got 2 weeks to figure it out. So I think this is like a perfect scenario for a great game.
So this is what I'll say about Andy Reed. I've admired him from afar. I can't stand him because he's the Eagles coach. But when he was the Eagles coach, he was to me like Mike Tomlin. And what he did was he got more out of his players that wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, they wasn't that good. Now he's with the Chiefs where the players are that good, but he knows how to get the best out of them. So,
yeah, and like listen to the podcast with the Kelce brothers. I love listening to theirs called New Heights. But they said that what Andy Reid does is he allows them to have fun. And he says, we're all athletes. We've all excelled from, being little kids to junior high to high school. And so we have talent. But it's like when you get in the NFL, it's like this super job where everything's serious. He said what he does is he lets us come up with a couple plays each week that we get to come up with. And he picks one of those that he'll put in the game plan.
Oh, cool.
And in a certain, like you saw that ring around the rose and you saw the crazy stuff. He said there's always one play that we have come up with that he puts his, you know, okay on. But it's, we've done it. And it's like every week, it's like, what are we going to do this week? What are we going to do? It's like he keeps it fun for the craziness that of the NFL. And he said a lot of times what makes it more fun for working for someone like that is he's totally in charge. There's no doubt. He says, you don't. He says between plays for the last 3 or 4 years, him and Mahomes go over to the side and they practice all this stuff you see on TV all the time. They do it when Heaney's doing a down the field on his drive. We're on the side trying out all this stuff. He wants us to do it. He says, y'all go do your stuff. Go do your stuff. So when we do it in the game, it's not like we just came up with it. It's like I've run to the right. Somebody's been there and he shifts to the left and throws the ball. And so we have gotten this continuity together, not just because it just happens, because we practice it for 4 years.
Yeah. So one thing I'll say is this would be a culmination, because there's been a lot of people say that, hey, Jalen Hurts should be the MVP. We're about to find out if he's MVP. I think he probably should be the MVP. And, you know, Mahomes has been the stalwart of always being in that conversation, no matter what, and as he should be. So I think this is an opportunity to cement things for both quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It can cement things for Jalen Hurts. It can also cement things for Pat Mahomes. Because if the Chiefs lose, there'll be Ian Griffins out there going, hey, is he just a one and done? You know, I mean, he just gets in once and that's it. And then he turned into Jim Kelly after that.
He'll be 1-3 in Super Bowls. But, you know, five-time AFC champ, great, but 1-3 is Super Bowl. Or you can look at it as
– John Elway.
I really think that Pat will win the MVP of the league. I think that's the way it's going to go. And then it becomes very interesting if the Eagles win – pretty much a quarterback normally gets it, then Jalen Hurts will get it. So there'll be that conversation. Well, if he wouldn't have been hurt those two games, we'd have won both of them.
Well, my deal is when you start talking about the MVP, the most valuable player, Jalen Hurts was hurt and they did lose. So he should get it. Whereas Mahomes didn't get hurt to the playoffs. And when he did get hurt, to kick him in the gut a little bit, the backup marched down the field.
One field right down.
So it's like, we didn't miss him. You know what I'm saying? Now he said, okay, I had enough of you showing out. I'm coming back out there now, everybody has a lot of respect for him for that, you know, because he wants to win.
Absolutely.
But the backup was doing okay. I hate to say that. You know?
Well, he had one drive, 98 yards.
But I
don't think if they'd have said, well, Mahomes, you're going to be clear to play in the Super Bowl if we make it, I don't think anyone would think that they would beat the Cincinnati Bengals with him.
Yeah.
In that situation. All right, so last part of this is, and we kind of talked a little bit, both these guys are from Texas.
Yeah.
Channel View's from, I looked on a map, about 40 miles east of Houston.
And we got 2 minutes.
Okay. And we got Pat Mahomes from White House, Texas, Smith County, Tyler. Two African-American quarterbacks starting for the very first time at the same time. You know, we had Doug Williams back in the day, and, you know, of course, they're a bit. But at the same time, and we got the Kelce brother thing. So there's a lot of things to play here. Like you said, you know, we talked before, we don't want to overstate something. We're not in 1978 anymore. We're in 2023. But it is something that, you know, the ESPNs and people talk about the first time there's two African-American quarterbacks there, and we have to applaud that. Real quick, since we do have Wes, then we have about a minute and a half. Go ahead, and what do you think the prediction will be, and what do you think the score will?
I think the Eagles will win somewhere around, like, 35-28.
Okay. And I think that it'll be a little bit lower scoring game than we think. It seems like anytime there's two teams going out, it always seems a little bit lower scoring. And I'm going to take, for the first time in the playoffs, I'm going to take the Chiefs to win 28-24. And Chiefs will get an interception to close the game out. I think they'll have a chance to come down and score a touchdown at the very end. 28-24 Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Chiefs. But anyway,
yeah.
So we got to get out of here because – we are expiring on time. So from the coach
to the vet,
stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned.